Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Professionals spend nearly half the workweek on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through your work with relevant, real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
What up, what up, what up, Rugby Rant fans? It is Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and we are coming to you without Scott Ferrari. He's got some family duties to attend to, but I've got two heavy hitters on episode 179 of the Rugby Rant. And we know one of these guys has been a feature throughout the last couple seasons, a welcome feature, by the way, because, you know, while he represented one team when he started joining the Rugby Rant podcast show to contribute, that would be the ATL team. Darryl was graced. It's like been an up and down thing, man, because DMAC, you know, joys of having a team, then the lulls of not having a team, and then they have a team and it's in a city. DMAC, the Anthem Rugby Carolinas super fan. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, y'all? Yes, the agony of defeat and the joy of victory. So I went from having no team to a team in my backyard. So how awesome is that?
Yeah, it is awesome. And Charlotte's a great city. I know a bunch of the Hounds fans went down there last weekend, went to the lake, and then enjoyed a quality rugby match. And we're welcome with a very competitive match up to that, you know, into that 71st minute. Yep. But now we have a first-time contributor, but somebody who, you know, everybody will know very, very well. He is none other than Brian Ray, who has got to be one of the leading contributors to our North American rugby community, because he is the co-founder of America's Rugby News, and you'll often see him tweet on Twitter at the handle @RaysRugby. Brian, what's going on, my friend?
Hey, thanks for having me on the podcast. One of the OG MLR kind of podcasts, really. So much respect for all the work, the great interviews that you guys have done over the past few years. It's really I always say there needs to be more of these and not less. So much respect for all the effort you guys have done.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And what I appreciate about you, sir, is you're on the cutting edge, man. You're like the Adam Schefter of North American rugby. Dude,
I mean, it always seems I don't get paid like him, I can tell you that much.
Right?
None of us do. But maybe that's why, you know, we're in the game because we love it. We hope it someday there's a pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, right?
Right.
So, yeah. All right. So we've got a great lineup today. Some really interesting stuff. We're going to hit you with an around the pitch segment that's full of some great, you know, information about things that perhaps are flying below the radar. But then we're going to have a little fun with this one, something we've been chomping at the bit to talk about. And that is, of course, with the news of Sam Harris leaving Chicago and some interesting information about the interim coach, Rob Weber. We know that the Chicago Hounds at the conclusion of the season will be looking for a permanent head coach. So we're going to talk a little bit about what that may look like. You know, what are some potential candidates? What are, you know, what philosophy, what direction the Hounds may go? And I will tell you, folks, I have not chatted with anybody from the Hounds on this bit here. This is just stuff, my intuition. And I'm sure that the other two gentlemen right in front of Brian and Daryl will have some really good thoughts to contribute to this. So, you know, we're going to come back at you in just a few minutes. But before we do, I just want to make mention of one of our supporters, and that is Shop MLR, powered by Rugby Now. And of course, I've got this great Mardi Gras bead tree jersey, which is now for purchase. I know that the Anthem Rugby Carolinas jersey can be purchased at Rugby Now. The Cherry Blossoms jersey is coming soon. It's posted and ready to go. What else do we have there that looks pretty slick? The Hounds jersey can be ordered. That awesome Seawolves jersey. Of course, the Free Jacks Miami has a great looking kit too. They wore it last weekend. So, you know, some good stuff. And I think, gentlemen, we saw that, if I'm not mistaken, the Legion kind of put something on offer there that they're going to be wearing this weekend. So I got to ask, before we exit, Brian Ray, what kit looks appetizing to you from that city list of city kits?
I got to be honest, I'm really partial to the NOLA kits. I love the Becky Foss design. I love the alligator one she did last year, and I think she's done another great job this year. So, yeah, I'm a little bit biased, I guess. I really like those Mardi Gras designs. They've got the crazy colors, so I'm going to go with the NOLA.
Yeah, it really captures the spirit and the theme of the city, right? I mean, if there is a city kit, you're getting a NOLA, you know, a NOLA jersey for sure. Daryl, what's hot for you?
Yeah, you know, I really like the Anthems. I like the throwback to NASCAR with the checkered, you know, sleeves. I thought that was pretty cool. And the fans, you know, I saw quite a few of the fans wearing them. And so I think it was popular. Uh-oh. And then they also did a giveaway of some bucket hats, and they were reversible bucket hats. And on the reverse was that same pattern that was on the city jersey. So it was kind of cool. So I think the fans really dug it. So, I was pleased with that. So
yeah, I did see somebody wearing those bucket hats are pretty cool. And then they had the scarves like the first year.
Yeah, this gave the inaugural. Of course, it was like 100,000 degrees outside when they gave out the scarves, but it was a good look. It turned out good.
Well, send it up to Brian up there in Canada. They have a lot more colder winter months, so I'm sure he would appreciate a scarf to go send maybe match that up with a toque, and he's all good to go. So, all right, fans. We appreciate everything that Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR does for us. And right now, we're going to get a word from those sponsors, and we'll come back with Around the Pitch.
When we pick up the ball, we also pick up a legacy. A legacy that stretches beyond your current team. A legacy built on the backs of those who came before you with hard work. And for those who will come after you, we promise it won't be easy. But we'll be there, supporting you on and off the field.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're back, folks. We're going to do a little around the pitch, get some news and abuse from around North American rugby. And I know both these gentlemen are going to have some awesome contributions given where they hail from. And I'm going to start first with my man, Daryl McCormick, right below us. Daryl, what do you...
Yeah, thanks, Rob. Yeah, here in Charlotte, I want to give a shout-out to Charlotte Cardinals rugby. The boys club won the national championship, and they were recognized this past Monday by the mayor of Charlotte and received an award for not only for winning the championship, but also for just their contributions to the city on a human level and some of the good work they've done in the area. So big shout out to them. And then also the USA U20s, men's U20s are practicing here in Charlotte and getting ready to head to Europe. And so Coach Neitz Gehrke, who you've had on the show, is a head coach for that. And he's working the boys hard. So pretty excited about their chances in Europe, in Scotland, here in the next few weeks as they play for that trophy.
Yeah, there's some exciting stuff happening here in North America. And I think one of the biggest ones is the U20s. I mean, Scott Lawrence has talked quite a bit on both this podcast as well as on some of the MLR broadcasts just about how important it is to support and fund the U20s as mm-hmm. they go into this tournament, and really the eye on them being the future of future Eagles. And, you know, how many of those guys can make contributions to be, you know, in 2027, potentially 2031. So exciting stuff happening there. So we appreciate that, Daryl. Nice entries there. And I'm going to toss it over to none other than Mr. Brian Ray. Brian, what do you?
Yeah, well, certainly, first of all, congrats on beating us at the U20 qualifiers. I'm looking forward to see the likes of Seth Smith running around in that tournament. But up here, I think a lot of the chatter right now is about the Canadian senior men's team that was just named. We've been waiting a while. Scott Lawrence is pretty proactive in putting his squads out there, but we have to wait a bit longer. I guess the passenger pigeon takes time to get there. But we have the squad, 18 MLR players, and five uncapped MLR selections of them. I guess the most exciting for me, Ethan Fryer and Callie Martinez, two guys who are actually U.S. eligible as well. So nice to know that they're going to be wearing the maple leaf instead of the eagle. But also a nod to three Dallas players who've been excellent this season, Nick Benn, Duval Kotze, and Brock Gallagher. I think Kotze might be surprised that he's uncapped, a surprise to some of us as well. But well-earned spots for them. So, it'll be interesting to see how these tests go, I think. The Eagles might be a little bit more optimistic about their chances than us, but we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, and we always like to hear how our friends of the North are doing. It's real important that, I mean, I think, you know, what do they say? A rising tide raises all ships, right? And I think that we're very much the success of each, the Eagles and Rugby Canada, is kind of mutually dependent, right? Whenever we've had real strong men's tournaments, you could go back to that Pacific, the Pacific series, you can go back, even longer than that, there were other series that involved Rugby Canada and the United States along with Japan. And whenever we've had those kinds of competitions, both Rugby Canada and the Eagles have produced some pretty strong international rugby results. We'd like to see them continue, and we hope that they can continue to be competitive. So that's awesome to hear. I got to ask Brian, how did the Rugby Canada's women's sevens team look as they head into the Olympics here in August?
Yeah, still waiting on the final roster to get named, but we have a pretty good idea of who's going to be in it. I think one to watch if somebody's thinking of a name to keep an eye on. Chrissy Scherfield has really been sensational. She's, I think, 19, 20 years old and just a blazing fast runner and just a classic finisher. An impressive talent who I think will also shine in the 15 stage as soon as the Olympics are done. So certainly one to keep an eye on there. And I'm really looking forward. I mean, I was really impressed with the Eagle squad that has been named. And those two teams, I think one of them, maybe both of them, could end up meddling. But I think in the end, I think one of the two will be in that top three, hopefully. And they're both really so competitive. It's great to see. I mean, here everybody knows our struggling men's program, but our women are really outstanding. So it's something to be proud of for us. So really looking forward to the Olympics. And beyond that, the W15 tournament's going to be hosted in Canada. So that's exciting too. We've got some pretty impressive players, Sophie DeGoody and those like. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
See, I'm glad you brought up Sophie DeGoody. Is she in the pool for the Rugby Canada Women's Sevens Olympic roster?
She's been in the mix a little bit in the Sevens series this year, but I don't anticipate her getting the call for the Olympics. Just we have so much talent on that Sevens team. And really, Sophie's she's a world-class player, so she's going to be a good Sevens player, but I don't know if it's really her bread and butter. She's really a 15s player at the end of the day. So I don't expect her to be on that roster. Maybe she'll be in training camp. I mean, maybe she will, but if she does make it, she won't be, you know, one of the top seven kind of thing. We've got some pretty fast players out there. Thankfully, the women's team really gets the best of the best. So, we'll see, but I wouldn't expect her to be on that.
Yeah, and then she's a special talent for sure. I mean, after all, she captained that side to a historic win over New Zealand, you know, back there in what was that, April or end of April or early May. Outstanding. And for me, what's even more special about that Rugby Canada is some of that reorganization that, you know, when they did that top down look at the high performance pathway and really did that investigation, it was really initiated because of things that came out of the women's camp. And to see them rebound so well with such good results on the 15 side, of course, at the World Cup, I think they got third, if I'm not mistaken. And you know, they just beat New Zealand. And then they're looking very strong as they head into this Olympic Sevens season. So it's exciting stuff happening out of Rugby Canada. You got to be very pleased with that women's side, right, Brian? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and to be honest, I don't think a whole lot has come from that whole kind of internal report. And I think a lot of people are frustrated with that fact. And I think the women's team succeeds despite Rugby Canada. They really are an exception. I think they do well because they kind of keep them away from the administration as much as possible. So they kind of keep themselves in a bubble. So
you take anyone you can get it, my man.
Yeah, so tremendously proud of the team, but I don't give too much credit to Rugby Canada for making them the winner. Gotcha.
All right. Well, that's why we brought you on enlighten us here south of the border. But we appreciate it. Yeah, there we go, folks. We're getting some great insights about things going on. And I want to take an opportunity, my around the pitch, to touch on two things. So I'm gonna bring these two gentlemen out real quick, and then we'll come back in. I want to talk about two elements. One is there's a youth rugby tournament coming up. It's an academy tournament, although not exclusively, you know, MLR per se. Academies are definitely a lot of those involved, including San Diego, Young Glory. There's a Midwest, I think a Thunderbirds entry, and it's both girls and boys. Look for the final on both of those, on both of those ends to appear on TRN. It's taking place at the Maryland Soccerplex as a curtain raiser to the NOLA Old Glory game happening this weekend. So check it out. If you're really hankering for some rugby and to watch and see what kind of fruits are starting to bear a result, or what kind of seeds are starting to bear fruit, maybe that's a better way to put it. On the MLR Academy side, this would be it. So check it out. So we really appreciate the Academy tournament happening. And then I want to send a huge shout out on two ends. Number one, Mike Tolkien's been battling some liver issues, and he's been looking for a donor, and the rugby community stepped up. And I'm always humbled by things like this. And there's always cases where I love pointing to them, to non-rugby folks, and saying, see, this is the difference, or this is what separates rugby from other sports. And this is one of those things. Tracy Schmidke Young, the wife of Wendy Young from your Scrum Half Connection, who's a regular contributor on the show, stepped up. She is donating one of her livers to Mike Tolkien. So, man, what an incredible, incredible gesture. Again, the rugby community stepping up and just showing what makes us different. I love it. But I'm going to bring these gentlemen back And, you know, gents, that was a pretty good around the pitch. A lot of good stuff happening. We're going to take a moment and kind of break out a little bit. And when we come back, we're going to talk about who we might see fill that coaching vacancy, or at least what direction the Hounds may go in 2025 for, I think it's season 8 of the MLR, if I'm not mistaken. It's pretty amazing. So we'll talk a little bit about that. I'll pick these gentlemen's brains about what direction they may think the team is going. And then don't forget to stick around, because we'll have your locks of the week this week. So exciting slate of matches coming up. And I know Brian's thought a little bit about, because he's a regular contributor to Matt McCarthy's show, of course. And he talks a little bit about his forecasts and betting. And I know Daryl's got some thoughts as well going into the weekend. So we'll end with that after we come back here in just a moment. All right, we're back. We're bad. We're beautiful. At any rate, like I said, we're going to be talking about this coaching vacancy. And let me tee this up, gentlemen, before I go to each of you and kind of throw some volley questions at you. And you just give me your thoughts and opinion about, you know, these elements. But what set this up is there was obviously Sam Harris stepped away from the Chicago Hounds. As he said, he wasn't able to maximize the talent on that roster. And I think there were a lot of challenges that the Chicago Hounds roster brought in season 7 in 2024 to that coaching setup. Sam, you know, had a very experienced roster, a lot of Ireland and England internet players that had played at a high level in their respective countries. You know, that in addition to some players that we know played for the USA here in the United States and came and Canada, Rugby Canada. It came from respective teams that had closed their books. And so we had a very veteran roster. And I know that at least from what I've seen on the tertiary of the Chicago Hounds was that expectations were much higher for this team. They really thought that they would be record-wise much better than they are currently, although they've had a resurgence of 2 games on the trot, looking to make it 3 going into the weekend. So with that, Rob Weber was the interim coach. And as I talked to James English, he was very appreciative of what Sam Harris has done up to this point. Sam was a professional and very much understood the situation, which, you know, good professional coaches always understand. Nevertheless, he said that they were fortunate, made it not easier, but it made the decision a little easier to swallow, so to speak. That they had a guy of Rob Weber's caliber who had, you know, coached the Jersey Reds to a very successful season. He had been their assistant forwards coach he was their forwards coach this year and worked with the scrum. And so he's going to the Saracens next year to be the assistant forwards coach and transition coach. So let's start with this. And I'm going to start now with Brian to my left, that away. And I'm going to pose this to both of you guys to pick your brains, okay? Let's start first with maybe the biggest question on a lot of American rugby fans' minds. So I'll start with Brian first. Do they go domestic? And I use the word domestic because we know we have coaches out there that are not American-born but have certainly made a commitment to being an American rugby coach. Or do they go with an international coach, bring in somebody, you know, like what Seattle has done, what San Diego has done? So I'm gonna take us off the screen, Daryl, and we're gonna give Brian a chance to weigh in on this one.
I don't think you put yourself in a hole. I don't think you target one either the way. I think you look and see who the best candidates are, whether they're coming from somewhere around the United States, whether they're already there or they are abroad. I mean, who knows, you know, what kind of international, you know, coach might be interested in taking a shot. I think Chicago, if you're looking around the MLR at the moment and maybe the jobs that might be vacant in the offseason or even just in general, I think Chicago has a pretty nice setup, and just looking at the ownership group and the way the organization is, kind of the potential that it has, I think is a, you know, if you're looking at MLR, it's one of the better gigs, I think. So I think it's attractive if anybody's looking to get into that kind of American, I guess, market, if we're going to call it that. So I think you just kind of open it up, look and see who applies. Don't limit yourself. And hey, if you get a candidate from within the United States who has a great interview and sounds like they have the right ideas, then go with them. And if you think that, you know, a more experienced professional from abroad is the answer, then go with them. I just don't think you limit yourself. I think you kind of take a broad look at who's applying, take the best candidates, talk to them, and see where it goes.
Yeah, I think those that's the right approach. Why close yourself off? Why shut doors, so to speak? But so I got to ask you this, because I think you make an awesome point, Brian, in that this is an awesome setup. The ownership group is well funded. We do know that. Obviously, for those that don't know, you know, myself and just knowing what I know of and being involved in the way that I'm involved with the Chicago Hounds. I mean, it is a one-stop shop, which can be a rarity in the MLR, right? I mean, New York battled that forever where guys were going to their pitch, which was different from their playing pitch, which was, you know, that was different from where they got their S&C, which is different from where they got their recovery and you know, treatments, which was different from where they lived, right? And so these guys were carting all over town. Whereas this is just a one-stop shop, you know, everything's right there, including a dome, which makes it really nice. And then added on to that, I think, is the fact that teams can, when they come into town, shack up right there at the edge of the parking lot at a beautiful hotel right there in Bridgeview. So I got to ask this, given what you said about just the really nice setup, does that add to the pressure of whoever they bring in? Does that just pile on the pressure, do you think? Or, you know, it's kind of one of those questions, is it a blessing or a curse?
I mean, if you're a competitive coach and you want to come in and win, and it's very clear that Chicago wants to win because they're not making this coaching change if they're not interested in winning.
Right.
I mean, that's what you want as a coach, isn't it? You want to go to a team that's going to be challenging for titles and has a great setup. So, yeah, I don't think pressure is an issue if you're a coach at that level. I mean, pressure comes with the business. So I think you definitely, you take that on as a challenge and you look forward to that pressure. That's what you want. So, I think it helps the situation, if anything. But, I certainly don't think it would ward any potential candidates off.
Gotcha. Yeah, I think that's a great point. It's interesting. You hit I think a very important touch point, and that is for the first 4 years in the MLR, I think we were willing to kind of accept the growing pains that coaches are going to make mistakes, that coaches aren't going to be perfect, that there are going to be coaches in situations, teams that are going to struggle a little bit. Now, though, all teams have that pressure, right? I mean, OG saw it last year, although their coach stepped away by his own choice, but nevertheless, you know, you've seen some coaching changes. We're going to see Heinicke Meyer step away as a director down there in Houston. So, you know, there is pressure in all points here, and it's and I think you're right. You make a good point. Just, you know, that ease of setup makes it a little bit better for a coach that wants to do well in terms of being a competitor. Daryl, I know you're chomping at the bit. So again, your thoughts, domestic, when I say, you know, a domestic individual that's not necessarily American, or do they look outside our shores and look to bring in somebody like a Clarkey or like a Danny Lee?
Yeah, I kind of, you know, I talked a little bit about Chicago earlier in the year, and they're really stacked with talent. And we just kind of thought they might be a little bit further along, but still a good season. The thing is, it's a great package, right? For a coach coming in, it's very attractive, lots of talent, great venue, great fan base, huge market. And so it's going to be attractive. There's going to be, a lot of folks interested in that position. That being said, if you're following, you know, around the world, of course, there's a ton of options for coaches. But if you're following Australian rugby right now, it's kind of rugby union is kind of hurting. So Melbourne Rebels folded. So and then but also, interestingly enough, Darren Coleman was let go by the Waratahs. So we know he's going to be looking for work, and he's already spent time in the MLR and has a shield to prove it with the LA Giltinis. Just spitballing that might be a potential that they could, to me, it would be great shopping grounds for MLR to find not only talent for players, but also coaches with a lot of experience and some great pedigrees. And along those lines, you know, would they bring, you know, more folks from Oz as forward coaches and backs coaches? I don't know. But to me, it would be, you know, it's kind of interesting to see if they might tap some of that talent that's available in Australia. That's just kind of obviously a long shot. Who knows? But that was just one thing that I thought as soon as I heard that, you know, they'd let him go from the Waratahs. I thought, well, Darren Coleman might be interested in coming back to MLR. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting point, Daryl. You know, like you said, he does have, you know, that pedigree in the MLR, pedigree of success. We know that he has a connection with current captain Billy Meeks, of course, because Billy Meeks played in LA, as did Charlie Abel. I was the other day, I was trying to pick my brain and looking down the roster to see if I could see any other players that had come from LA. But those are the two that stand out, obviously. You know, so I guess my question to you real quick, as you mentioned, Darren Coleman is an Australian, which kind of leads to the question for me of, we know that Chicago's really tried to connect with that Irish identity, you know, not just in branding, but also in some of their player personnel. Obviously, Dave Carney coming over is probably the big name. But, you know, you have Conlon Dooley. You have Butcher, who's, well, though American, born in Ireland. You have, you know, McCarthy, who's, again, born in the United States, but played in Ireland. You know, Michael Hand. You have, Jason Higgins. You just go down the list. They've got a ton of Irish boys. So, you know, do you think that that's going to be a hindrance, that their Irish loaded roster is going to be a hindrance and that's the direction they're going to go? Or you know, what are your thoughts in that regard?
You know, that's a good point because, you know, we don't know why Sam left. And maybe there was a little bit of difference in philosophy, Northern Hemisphere versus Southern Hemisphere. I mean, it could be. You know, I don't know what kind of candidates would be available in Ireland. I'm sure there's a ton of talent there, but it could very well be that they want to look to the Northern Hemisphere rather than Southern. So, and keep that sort of that Irish theme going, which is definitely there and you can see it. That's 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see which direction they go. But I can certainly appreciate both your points. Darren Coleman is without a doubt, has got to be, you know, at least somebody that you consider or make a phone call to. But like Brian said, you certainly don't want to shut any doors and lock yourselves, you know, into a corner. That being said, I got to ask this more perhaps general question. And I think Brian brought it up, and I'll go back to Brian here in a moment. You know, the other question is, do you go with a young coach, a promising coach that's maybe dynamic, perhaps more of a player's coach, or do you go with a veteran savvy coach? One, you know, again, we saw down in Houston, we saw this with Heinicke Meyer. We, you know, of course, head coach, help me, I'm drawing a blank, Human Pote. Or Pote Human, excuse me. You know, do they go with something like that? What are your thoughts there? And you know, with regard to the, you know, background and experience of a coach.
Yeah, in this situation, you know, again, you don't want to get, you know, squished into a box somewhere. But I think if I'm Chicago, I'm leaning towards a more experienced coach. You've got Dave Clancy as an attack coach already in this on the staff. I don't think he's going anywhere. You're going to be keeping him. You know, you want to get a coach who can help him develop as a coach as well. So I would probably lean towards a more experienced coach. I think Daryl's suggestion of Darren Coleman, certainly when I was trying to come up with names of who they might be interested, Coleman was certainly on that short list for sure. So I think he's definitely worth a call. And, you know, and there's a few other coaches. I'll wait a sec till we really get into the names thing. But I think to answer that question, I think I would lean more towards a more experienced coach. And just also looking at the roster as it stands and kind of expecting them to want to stay in that the top of the, you know, the top handful of teams as far as depth and kind of quality and experience of roster heading into next season. So I think in that situation, I would probably lean more towards experience.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting point too. I'm gonna pose a question rather than to each one of you a different question. I'm gonna pose one question to both of you who are after I give a chance for Daryl to weigh in. So I'm gonna go to Daryl with you and just, you know, pick your thoughts, looking to hear your thoughts on whether they go with a young kind of new, fresh, dynamic approach or whether they go with a savvy veteran. Although I think based upon your previous response to that last question, I have an idea where you're gonna go, but yeah. What the hell, we'll throw caution to the wind, man.
Yeah, I'm gonna concur with Brian. I think the only reason I say that is because that team's loaded with talent, and I think you just need a master chess player that can put all the pieces together. And so I think you're going to need the experience to get that done. So a younger coach might fit maybe at a club like Anthem or something like that, where you've already got a very young team and you grow together. But with Chicago, with where they're at right now, I agree with Brian. I think they're going to need somebody with some serious experience to just get them pointed in the right direction and pull it all together next year, or maybe this year, who knows?
Yeah. I mean, who knows, anything can happen in the playoffs, right? You know, now it's interesting. I want to springboard off of something, Daryl, you just said. You talked about that master chess player, and I'm just going to interject for just a moment. I would have to concur with the both of you. I think they need an experienced hand here, a savvy veteran. And one of the biggest reasons, and I haven't, folks, make no mistake, I have not heard this from a player. Okay. So I want to implore anybody watching out there, anybody who knows just my background, knows that I'm involved with Hounds as a sideline commentator. And so I do get around the Dogtown a little bit. I'm not in, you know, steeped in like, you know, most of their staff is, but so I haven't heard anything from anybody. All I'm saying is, as I use my eyes to watch, I look at the roster, each 23-man roster for each of the matches. And then I look who's not in that 23-man roster. And sometimes I say to myself, you know, if everybody's healthy, they've almost got two squads there. And when you think about Jason Higgins and how, I mean, he plays really, really well and is a great compliment when you have, you know, comes on for Nick McCarthy or when Nick is injured. And then you still have a guy like Michael Baska that's sitting out on the bench, right? So you're three deep at that position,
yeah.
Right? A kid that's played for the United States, for crying out loud. Exactly. And all I can think about is how difficult of a chess match that is over the course of this long, you know, 18-week season plus preseason and then playoffs to manage that experienced roster. Like, as a coach, the biggest challenge, how do I find the right starting 15 and those eight guys that are going to be coming in, you know, when it comes playoff time, and get that team gelling, but keep everybody else happy and engaged so that when we do have injuries, which are inevitable, those guys are ready to come on and do their duty, right? Yeah. That's got to be the challenge. And I think that's a tough thing to ask. So with that in mind, here's my question to both of you guys. Okay. And not too related to that point, but very much related to something that Brian said. And just go around here. I'll start with Brian. You mentioned it. They have Dave Clancy on staff, very good attack coach. James Beamish. They have Matt Wagner. Does the next coach keep that staff intact, or does that coach bring in his own staff? Brian, what do you got?
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends kind of on the strengths and the kind of specialty. Every coach kind of has their specialty. I mean, if you're around for as long as, say, Darren Coleman, you're probably really good at everything. But you tend to have something you're particularly good at. You know, kind of a Pota Human was a legendary kind of forward in his day, so he's more of a forward-oriented guy, so he'd bring in a backs coach. So that kind of would influence that decision. I think, though, in general, I mean, even if you were coming in as a backs-oriented person, I think you'd want a little bit of continuity. So I think you would keep Dave Clancy around and the staff you mentioned. I don't see any reason in changing the whole thing. I think where you might do is you know, say maybe bring in a specialist defense coach, or if the incoming coach is more of a backs person, then get a highly rated forwards coach, something like that. So I would expect like one assistant coach to be sourced by that incoming head coach, but I wouldn't want to just wipe the board clean. I don't think that's necessary. It looks like they got a pretty solid organization in general and just need a few tweaks here or there.
Yeah.
No, interesting point. Darryl, what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's a true. I don't know. It's every coach is different, but I think you do more damage if you clean house and start fresh than if you leave some of those, you know, chess pieces, if you will, in place and just manage that from a game management standpoint. I think you have the tools in the coaching staff. That's not the issue. It's just pulling it all together and pointing in the right direction and everybody moving the same way. So I would tend to agree with that.
You know, it's interesting, Darryl, you said the word, a phrase, clean house. And I think that kind of plays a role into what we may see happen. In other words, like from last year to this year, they had a turnover of 60% of the roster, which is pretty significant, right? For a team. And, you know, I think if they turn over, and I don't think they will, but if they were going to turn over that type of at that rate, their roster, then you could envision turning over the staff because, as Brian said, you know, the importance of continuity won't be quite as high. But I think, you know, they're not going to turn over that much of this roster. I think this roster is pretty strong. It's just a matter of finding the right guy who can bring all those pieces together effectively in 2025. So I agree, Brian. I and Darryl, I think that they're going to stick with some continuity and keep a lot of their staff intact. I mean, what's interesting, and you mentioned it, Brian, you know, Dave Clancy is an attack coach, and he was a good balance with Sam Harris, who was a defense coach, defense-oriented coach. And then they brought in Rob Weber, who was a forwards-oriented coach. So they really had that nice balance in that staff. So we'll be interested to see the strengths of the incoming coach and perhaps where they want to lean on their staff to, you know, complement those strengths in other areas. So that being said, here's the question of the day, and we're spitballing here, right, folks? Fans, we don't know. I don't know jack shit. That much I will tell you. I can't speak for the other two gentlemen that have joined me for this podcast, episode 179. But we're just going to throw out some names. I kind of said, hey, what do you guys think? We know Darryl already talked about Darren Coleman coming back into the MLR after having won a shield with L.A. Giltini. So, you know, I'm going to start with Brian. If there are any names out there that kind of stick out or any thoughts that you have, and who might they at least give an invitation or get a phone call to get that Zoom interview or perhaps, you know, show up in Chicago and tour those great facilities.
Yeah, I've got a handful of names, and maybe you guys can comment on them. But one, I think you can immediately scratch off the list. Speaking of LA, Steve Hoyles, who actually stepped in for Darren Coleman when he went to the Waratahs. You know, I think Steve would be a good fit for Chicago, but He's actually returning to the States, but he's opening up like a wellness business based in LA. So he's going to be in LA. Is he going to join, you know, that franchise potentially? You know, who knows? We'll see. But I think you could rule him out of the Chicago job because of that. But, you know, I think if you're looking at assistant coaches around MLR right now who might be interested, the two obvious ones that jump at you are Chris Latham in Seattle, who, of course, was coaching Utah for a bit, and Nate Osborne, of course, the legend from NOLA. So those two guys, I think, you know, would probably put their hands into that. I'm assuming that they would be interested in that kind of thing. A name that kind of shot out at me today, one we haven't heard in a while, formerly of San Diego, Rob Hoadley. I'm not really sure what he's doing now, but he was fairly successful when he was with the Legion. Maybe he's interested. And Steve Meehan, speaking of Australians, he was due to join the Arrows before they sadly folded in the offseason, but very experienced Australian. He's got, if you're looking for experienced coaches out there, I mean, he's had top flight experience across the globe pretty much. And if we're looking domestically, I, you know, whenever I ask people who the best kind of American coach below MLRs, I mean, obviously Jack Clark is a legend. Everybody knows him, but Tim O'Brien at St. Mary's, everybody always talks about him. It doesn't seem like he has any interest in leaving that program, and I wouldn't blame him, but you know, I'd want to give him a call just the same and just see if he's at all interested in just, you know, having a conversation at least. So those are names that kind of stand out for me at the moment.
Wow. You threw out some very strong ones. Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
I'm impressed. Like when we first talked about this as a topic, you're like, do we really know? But man, you came through in a solid way. I really like Latham a lot. I had the chance to meet him when Seattle came here, and I've been a big fan of his, you know, since that 99 World Cup, in which he was a trophy winner. And you know, we know he was in Utah, at least in his first foray, had a, you know, did a cup of coffee with them until, you know, a family things called him back. Nate Osborne, of course, has resurrected himself within the Dallas organization. Certainly, I agree. I think he's going to put his hand up. I love the Rob Hoadley entry. Yeah. Like that's the one you don't typically that's one I never would have thought of, but when you said it, I went, nice. Mm-hmm. That was a good choice. I like that. So awesome. Good stuff on that note. So I gotta ask right now, Daryl, you have one entry, obviously Darren Coleman. What else you got, my man?
You know, it's funny that you bring up Rob Hoadley, Brian, because there's a few of us, and I stay in touch with a lot of the San Diego Legion fans since that was my first MLR team. And that name comes up every so often, and we've just kind of lost track of him and not really sure, but he could easily pop up and surface and get back into coaching. I don't think so, but, you know, anything's possible. So it's interesting you bring that up. Rob, you know Nate Osborne probably better than any of us. I'd love to see Nate take a head coaching job again. I thought he did a really good job at NOLA, but you know, maybe he's loving where he's at. They've done great things in Dallas. I mean, look where Dallas has come. He's a huge part of that. So that would be, you know, I'd like to see that. I'd like to see him as a head coach again, but who knows? And other than that, that's really all I have. I don't really have anybody else lined up.
Oh, no worries. No worries. All good. You know, again, it comes back to that philosophy. Do we see, you know, that experienced, you know, imported coach? Do we see that experienced American coach in a guy like Nate Osborne? Do they give, you know, a collegiate coach a shot? And there's, you know, it's kind of interesting. Somebody put out on Reddit, you know, are there any, in kind of connection to this topic, are there any collegiate coaches that could put their hand up? And it's really tough because, you know, to be quite honest with you, you know, like a guy like Josh Macy might stand out because he's done such a great job at Lindenwood with mm-hmm. that program. But, you know, just from what I know about Josh, he has a young family. I mean, why would you want to subject yourself to that instability when he's had such a guy like him? And I know other coaches, Jack Clark's in the same boat. The guy's been in the same place for so long. He's practically mm-hmm. an institution. Right. So why would they want to subject them and their family to that kind of turmoil? And we know Sam Harris had young kids and it's been really tough for them to move, you know, to Austin and then from Austin to Chicago. And now to begin, you know, looking around going, all right, what's the next step? So it can be a challenge. So at any rate, some good entries by both of you guys. I really like where this is going. I'm going to throw a few guys out. Some might be known, some might not be known. And I got to tell you, Brian, thank you very much. You threw Hoadley out there, and immediately my mind went to another former Eagle who's involved in coaching in the league. And you probably, based upon you nodding your head, know where I'm going with this. I'm going with Sean Davies. Deshaun, we know he's been in Utah. Now he is in, is he in San Diego? Or is
he's
he
with LA.
He's in LA. Yeah. That's right. So we know he's been around the league, obviously, a player himself in the league. So he's and an Eagle, He's certainly familiar with the league, been intimately involved with it since its inception. So a guy like him, I'm wondering if he would say, yeah, I'm ready to take the helm. I'm ready to, I've seen enough of what I like and maybe would want to do differently from around the league. Now I'm ready to implement my own philosophy and create my own culture. So I kind of thought of him. So thank you, Brian. That was a name that I thought of. You inspired me. another one, Dan McKellar. And I kind of went, when I thought about the idea of do they reach into the Irish roots and background? McKellar is at Leicester. And we know that there's some boys from Leicester on this that have come from, that team that have come here in Chicago. And there might be, a really nice compliment. He spent some time at the Brumbies, Canberra. He was an assistant for Australia. Spent some time in Japan as a forwards coach. So again, with the exit of Rob Weber, you're putting in another a coach that would complement a Dave Clancy very, very well. So it'd be interesting to see a guy like that put his hand up. Again, I have no institutional knowledge, just as I spitballed, and did my due diligence who came up. And then a Leinster coach, Andrew Goodman. Again, there's some connections with the Irish roots here in Chicago. Kiwi born, but played for Leinster, head coach for Nelson College, so has coached some young boys. And he was a backs coach at the Crusaders, an assistant at Leinster. Has that wealth of experience to draw from around the world, different styles, both Northern Hemisphere and Southern Hemisphere. Bringing somebody like that in, just might provide that background and experience, pull in that very, I don't want to say hodgepodge, but that roster has Australians and Kiwis and, of course, Irishmen and Englishmen and Americans. And so being able to pull all those truly international roster together with somebody who's, been around the world, done there, done that, much like a McKellar has. So those are my three entries. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to take my bruises here. You guys have some thoughts on that?
I like that you brought up Davies. I think the thing with Sean is that he doesn't have any head coach experience, so it'd be a little bit of a gamble, but certainly he's done his time as an assistant. He's obviously got a very good rugby brain on him, so that's an interesting one who I hadn't really considered before. I think McKellar, I don't think MLR teams are going to be able to touch him, sadly. I think he's pretty in demand in the pro scene, so I would expect him to end up with a pretty a good spot there. You mentioned the Irish connection. I wonder, the Carney brothers and everybody, they're going to have so many connections and links coming up through age grade. And they'll know all the coaches in the All-Ireland League worth talking to. I suspect that there'll be, a soundboard to, hey, who should we be taking a look at? Or maybe there's an assistant coach in one of the Irish franchises who wants a crack at a top job. I mean, can you imagine Paul O'Connell being, coming out of the press conference to be the head coach of Chicago House? That'd be just nuts. So I certainly think that some of the leading candidates might be guys that we might not even, recognize their names. They're just outstanding coaches out in Ireland. So, it's an interesting one to think about.
Yeah. The salary, aspect of it too, I suppose, is going to play into this. And when you think about when Darren Coleman was here, he had a lot of the Gilchrist backing. He brought Adam Ashley Cooper. He brought Gitto. There was a lot of money flowing into LA at that time. And So that could probably factor into, you know, who is willing to come to the MLR too. So even though, I mean, like Brian said, you know, there's got to be an assistant out there or something that would be a good fit and have enough experience to, you know, in the Irish clubs to come in and do well. So that would be, you know, probably a factor as well as the salary if they stay in Europe and, you know, be able to make more money there. Who knows? But it could play into it, I suppose.
Yeah, it's funny, Brian, you mentioned Dave Carney, of course, you know, plays fullback for the Hounds. You know, somebody I saw out on Reddit land mentioned that, you know, does he come in maybe not as a head coach, but as an assistant, you know, kind of hangs up the boots and, you know, does something like that. And I like, you know, I think you're right. I think that, you know, with he and Rob's, you know, connections within Ireland, certainly some of the other lads have some strong connections. There's going to be no shortage of candidates to at least have a conversation with. It'd just be interesting. It seems like the MLR is one of those places where guys who want to get a shot at that head coaching opportunity can do that for a couple of years. And if they get on well, they can use that as a springboard into something, you know, to pad that. I don't want to say pad the resume, but to beef up a resume, to enrich a resume. If they're looking to, you know, go back to Europe, go back, you know, go to France or go to, you know, the Premiership or go to, you know, Ireland or South Africa. So some pretty interesting entries there. Man, I think we beat this one pretty good. I don't know about you guys.
I think so.
But I like it. I enjoyed the conversation. It's certainly, as a Chicago fan, as somebody who walks up and down the sidelines every other week, it certainly is intriguing, and I can't wait to see what happens in that regard. And, you know, while I don't think I'll get any information that's publishable, I sure hope that I can pick the minds of a James English, perhaps, and see what his thoughts are into the coaching future. All right. Well, gentlemen, it's come that time. Great conversation. I loved it. A lot of good thoughts. And certainly I think I picked the right panel to join us for this conversation. The veteran experience really showed today, my man. And I think we really saw it with both your thoughts and comments and the names that came up. So, but before we exit, folks, I got to say, first of all, a big shout out. And let me get the name here. We got Nate Dogg, who won Super Brew week. I think it's week 17. Nate Dogg got himself a $25 coupon to Rugby Now and Shop MLR. And Nate Dogg, if I'm not mistaken, is Nathan Miller is an OG fan. So, you know, he gets that coupon. It'll come out and you can bide your time. So those OG city jerseys with the cherry blossoms come out and you'll be rock and rolling. But our next segment, our last segment, we, of course, got to look to week 18, final week, and there's some good matchups. So we're going to quickly come back with our locks.
The Rugby Rants Lock of the Week.
All right, gents, here's what we got on tap for this weekend. Utah versus LA, and the fans, the first team is going to be the home team. Free Jacks versus Anthem. Chicago versus Miami. Old Glory versus NOLA. We've got Houston versus Dallas and San Diego versus Seattle. Brian, you rightly pointed out there's some interesting matchups here. Can you just remind fans why or what makes them interesting?
Well, I guess the two that stand out immediately are the two Western Conference semifinalists are actually going to be playing each other this weekend. So it's the Texas Derby. Dallas and Houston are going to be rematching again in Houston in, what, I guess 3 weeks' time, July 20, what is it, 20th? I think the 21st maybe they play that weekend anyways. And then, of course, Seattle will be hosting San Diego, and they're playing in San Diego this weekend. It will be Seattle in that next big one. And then, you know, it's kind of an outside chance right now, NOLA and Chicago, whether they rematch, it kind of depends on the results. I'm kind of expecting that it'll be we'll see. Or sorry, NOLA's playing DC this weekend, so that's right. The one that says, because I'm expecting it'll be Chicago and NOLA, but we'll see what happens. Right. But certainly some intrigue to this weekend.
Yeah, it sure does. All right, Daryl. Yeah. I got to ask you, will the Anthem, first question, will the Anthem get their first victory of the year in the very last week of MLR 2024? And then what's your lock of the week?
The answer is no. Nothing against my boys from the Carolinas, but although they've made some improvements, it's a first year, lots of growth, but we're going up against a buzzsaw in New England. I'm sorry. So, hopefully it'll take away some great lessons from that and have a good time anyway. And, but my, you know, of course, having followed San Diego Legion for years, that rivalry with Seattle is awesome. But I think they may have unleashed a beast last week with Tion Lutz, throwing him outside. He had a monster game, that could have sparked something in the Legion. I'm really looking forward to that matchup. I think that could be just a cracker of a game. So, all of them, you know, are, going to be a lot of fun to watch. Of course, the Texas, you know, Derby is always going to be fun. So, watching the Saber Bros do their thing is always entertaining.
So who's your lock? Which team should people go with if they want a definitive winner this weekend?
New England.
Okay. You don't think they're going to hold anybody out? Like, you know, hey, we could hold a few starters out, give them 3 weeks rest with the
international I mean, they could and
get them ready.
Yeah, that could happen, but I'm not feeling it. I think it's pretty safe.
I mean, they scared the Hounds last weekend, and the Hounds kind of did that a little bit in a few positions.
Oh, they did. They played really well, and the crowd was loving it. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. All right, Brian, what do you got? What's your lock of the week?
Well, if we're going to go with a lot, I mean, yeah, we'll skip the New England one because that's kind of a bit of a gimme. I'm going to go with the very first game of the weekend, Utah against LA. I think, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what lineups, you know, on that point of resting players, what actual lineup, especially for those Western Conference games that are really just for bragging rights. I would expect a lot of guys to get rested. So those lineups, I think, are kind of up in the air. It's hard to predict until we see those rosters come out. So, but I think the two teams that we can be sure that are going to be wanting to win, you know, and putting out their absolute best because it's the last game of the season, is Utah against LA. So, I mean, they don't want to, you know, they want to end the season on a high. Certainly Utah would be very disappointed to not be in the postseason this year. And, you know, it's nice to see them end that losing streak, that shootout against Dallas that was just bonkers to watch. I'm going to pick Utah to win that. And I think it's going to be a really entertaining game. I think Utah's a lock only because LA is so incredibly beaten up. They might have to put a jersey on Sean Davies to put out a full match day 23 the way they are going right now. They just had so – I feel so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody's just crippled. So I don't think they have a hope of beating Utah at home, but I think it's going to be an entertaining game. So my lock is to pick Utah over LA.
Gotcha. That's an interesting choice. I love how you broke down that game just simply – you know, looking at some of the injuries, I sure like a lot of fans wish we had an injury report from week to week so we could really make a better, more accurate guess, educated guess, if you will, as to who might win, because injuries are certainly taking their toll on some teams' performances this season. You know, that being said, I generally don't pick either NOLA or Chicago. I try to stay away from because I don't want to put a hex or anything on either one of my teams. And yes, I am Robbie two teams because I can do that. Nevertheless, I'm going to pick Chicago this week. I just think that they're going to want to demonstrate that they're ready to go into the playoffs. They have a very deep team. You know, Nate Augsburger got a week's rest. He's ready to come back. You know, I think there are some guys out there that want to prove that they should be on that game day roster for the first ever playoff. And, you know, they want to make sure that they also get that are guaranteed that third seed. You know, they can't get the second seed. So they want to make sure they stay in that third seed, you know, for the playoffs. I'm going to go with Chicago and it should be a pretty exciting match. You never know with Miami. The interesting thing of it is with them is we know that they can be a very dynamic team, you know, especially in the backs. They play what's in front of them, so to speak. Do they throw caution to the wind because there's nothing to lose? You know, what the hell? We're going to open it up. We're going to have a lot of fun. So it's one of those games where they could really make it fun and enjoyable to watch. Or in doing so, there could be a lot of mistakes and Chicago could capitalize on it and really make it a blowout. So it's a tough one, but I'm predicting I'm going with Chicago. So there we go, folks. That's episode 179 of the Rugby Rant. And I can't say enough about my co-conspirators here in this leading into week 18 of the 2024 season. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate the contributions you guys have made. You're always welcome back. Got a green light to come back on the show. So thank you so very much, gentlemen. And I want to remind everybody to check out Shop MLR. They're having some great deals on those city kits, and there's a lot of Kappa kits still available, so check them out. Hey, check back in with Scott and I. I'm going to be here in Chicago for the Romania match if you're coming in. I know a lot of folks are going down to D.C. Daryl, you checking in at D.C. by chance to go to that USA-Scotland match? No? You're always busy with work, man.
I travel a lot, but
I know you do. I know you do. But yeah, check out and say hi to the big guy because I believe he's going to be at that DC match. And then check out the Rugby Rant. We're going to have some good interviews coming up this week, just here in a day or two. I've got Corey Daniel for an RPK. He was a lot of fun to interview, especially because he really represents that crossover athlete that a lot of people have talked about enriching USA Eagle roster. So that's a good one. And I'll have a special guest, maybe from some of our Canadian friends here in the next week or two. I have a few connections with a few Canadian folks here in Chicago. Don't want to give any hints, but nevertheless, working on it. Anyway. We appreciate all the fans that support us. We appreciate our sponsor, Shop MLR, powered by or Rugby Now, Power Shop MLR. And we certainly thank these two gentlemen, Daryl and Brian. Thank you, sir, so very much. You guys are always a pleasure, always welcome on. And fans, if you want to jump on, send us a shout out. We welcome fans to be involved because, of course, we seek to grow rugby one fan at a time. And with that, gents, we will see everybody at the next. Right.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.